Lynn Hiles Ministries presents Dr. Lynn Hiles, That You Might Have Life. And here's your host, Dr. Lynn Hiles.
Welcome back to the program again this week, and thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us every week at the same time. I know you're being blessed by the word that's flowing, and it may be challenging your heart to really stretch your thinking, but that's really what we intend to do. We want to make you think. We're not trying to tell you how to think, or we're not trying to tell you what to think. We're just trying to teach you to think, and I think that the Spirit of the Lord is able to communicate His heart of truth to you. We are on the set again this week with my oldest son, Jeremy, who is the pastor of Word That Frees, a great church in Winchester, Virginia. There'll be information on the screen that will help you find their location. They meet at a restaurant called Sweet Nola's in Winchester, Virginia, and you'd be blessed to go by and be in a service where Jeremy is preaching. It's good to have you on again, Jeremy.
Always good to be here.
And Jeremy's been on with me now for the last probably 10, 11 weeks, and we'll be on for a couple more weeks. We just really, the magic is in the room when we begin to share together. It's so much easier to have conversation than it is for me to just talk to you 30 minutes all the time. And in these particular chapters, he's got some real insight, and I'm glad to have him on the set. We're going to get in the Word, but let me just say again, if you've missed any of these programs, you can go to our website at lynnhiles.com, and there is a direct link from the opening page directly to our YouTube channel. Go there and subscribe to it. It's free. It won't cost you a thing. But every time we upload a new program, it will send you an email letting you know that the new program is up. Follow us that way. Go to our Facebook page and hit my public profile. Hit like and follow us, and keeps you up to date. But also on that opening page, there is a link directly to our podcast. There's an icon that looks like an iTunes icon up there. And there's also one that looks like a little robot. It'll take you to the RSS feed for Android devices so that you can get the audio portions of this as well as the video. And you can catch up, because we've been weeks and weeks and weeks teaching this incredible book of Hebrews. But today we're going to get back in the Word. We're going to cover a lot of ground, but I'm going to begin to just read it again from the beginning and try not to review too awful much, because I want to get into some things that I think are going to be helpful to us. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have not, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the Father's spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, and this is the part I want to get to today, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commandment. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with the dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to spirits made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of a new covenant, and the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? I'm going to stop there because I will get into some of these that in another segment. The key point that I want to make here is we talked about the last time, these Hebrews that this book is written to, first century Hebrews, were in the greatest transition of human history. They're moving from the old covenant to the new covenant. They are 30-some years into this, and they're being persecuted. They are being pressured to go back to Judaism. They're being suffering affliction from the Romans, suffering affliction from the religious leaders. And they are, wanting to draw back. Mm-hmm. And Paul, or whoever it is, wrote the book of Hebrews, is telling them, and Hebrews 10 especially, we're not of them who draw back to perdition. And we talked about how if you miss the mark willfully, if you sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. And that was really talking about not sinning last night, but missing the mark and going back to an old covenant that was really fading off the seed. He said, if you miss this mark on purpose, there's remaining no more sacrifice for sin. There's not another lamb coming. Mm-hmm. There's not another alternative to salvation. So if you do that, you're doing despite to the Spirit of grace, and you're walking back over the blood of Jesus. So he begins to tell them, look to Jesus now. Everything about this is about Jesus. He's the better promised land, the better priesthood, the better tabernacle. He's the better sacrifice. Everything about this gets us to focus, to look to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. And then last week we talked about one of the things that he does is he corrects every son that he receives. And so the correction was that we're sons, mm-hmm, and not servants. Because under the old covenant, you were slaves and servants, but in the new covenant, you're sons. And you so powerfully brought something last week about how that, you know, foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Mm-hmm. And then you read that powerful scripture, excuse me, in the book of Isaiah that said that Jesus was the rod out of the stem of Jesse. So what correction does, how we correct is we give them Jesus. Yep. We point people back to Jesus, and that's what corrects them into coming where their hands are not hanging down. Mm-hmm. Their knees are no longer feeble. They're encouraged, and that they're not falling back to a root of bitterness. In other words, they're not so struggling with this stuff that they're going to be like Esau. The scripture, interestingly enough, calls him a fornicator, which, you know, really it has nothing to do here with sexual sin, because actually, there's no record of Esau being a fornicator, but he's talking about them going back and selling their birthright for a morsel of meat. And he's talking to these Hebrews about selling their birthright.
Yep.
And their inheritance. See, I'm afraid that we're really standing in a day when there's such bad theology. And I'm going to talk a little about it in this first segment to set stage to this. But we're teaching, or I think some are teaching, such bad theology that it's stealing people's inheritance.
Yep.
Because it takes their inheritance from who it really belongs to and gives it to the wrong covenant. And so he's warning them, you know, not to go back, because once they, even though they sought it carefully with tears, there was no place of repentance. Esau couldn't find a place to repent. And the scripture calls him a fornicator. And then he says that in the context, Jeremy, of saying, you didn't come to Mount that might be touched. You didn't come to blackness and darkness. You didn't come to a God who says, you're going to be thrust through with a dart. That Mount was Mount Sinai, where the law was given, the old covenant. He said, but you are come to Mount Zion. So what he's saying is don't sell your birthright for this momentary relief from the persecution, because you've not yet resisted the blood. But don't sell it, because if you sell your birthright and you give it away, And see, a lot of these Jews were about to lose their birthright, and it was about to be handed over, you know, Jacob and Esau. Esau was actually the firstborn, and Jacob was, and so the first was about to be last, and the last was about to be first. There was about to be Gentiles included in the covenants of promise. Let me go ahead and jump in there for a moment, and I'll come back and pick up some stuff about how the Jesus is the true Israel of God. Go ahead.
You're talking about, again, we talked about correction. And even, we talk about sin or our foolishness being in the heart of a child. Let's say it like that. Foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And you think, we talked about how Jesus is that rod. You talk about bad theology as well. There's so much stuff that's been taught from us from an old covenant mindset that really does rob us
of our inheritance.
Of our inheritance, of all the things we can have. In other words, we teach faith. Rather than a faith in Jesus, we teach a faith in our hope a lot of times, when we pray for somebody, we really don't think about, I think sometimes we've been taught so much bad theology, we don't think about that I'm connecting to the Christ. That when I pray for someone, what I'm really doing is connecting them to what Jesus has already done. In other words, let's say this. Let's say sickness is the foolishness that's in us. What's going to drive it far from us is going to be a rod called Jesus by his stripes we are healed.
Mm-hmm.
That healing being the children's bread, and that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So what's going to remove the foolishness of sickness out of our life is not us really hoping it's going to work this time when we lay hands on somebody, but really applying what Jesus has already accomplished. I was talking to some people just recently that came out of just some really bad theology and teaching that, I gave an opportunity in one of our services and said, I just feel like if somebody needs to be prayed for this morning, we'll just pray for you this morning. Well, I had a call from a lady, a couple days later. She said, I just felt like whenever you said that I was supposed to come up, but I just didn't come up. And she says, now I feel like I missed my healing. And I told her, I said, it's not a moment of opportunity, it's not a moment in time. You're a son, that's your inheritance.
Yeah.
It's something you're able to have constantly. It's not just this, it's not like I've just got to get this one opportunity, and if I get that, that's what's going to be it. It's your inheritance, you're right. You can have that all the time. Here's what I love. Here's how I look at it too. By right, if something would happen to you, I get, there's some inheritance that you've written for me. But the thing is that I'm actually better off with you being alive than I am if something would happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have constant access to your stuff. I've got tools of yours right now. I've got constant, and I walk into your house now.
Yeah.
And if there's food in the refrigerator, I have access to it. If there's something I want to borrow, if I said to you, I need something, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to get what I'm asking for. Mm-hmm. Without any kind of thing ever happened to you. I get that.
Yep.
It's better.
Yep.
Well, that's how we are with Jesus. We have a living Father who has a continual inheritance for us. But the thing is that we don't realize the right that we have to it. We don't realize that we can walk into Daddy's house. It's almost like, because we keep preaching a theology that's almost waiting for this one day.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get it. And it's almost like we're waiting on, it's like waiting on somebody that, when somebody dies, I'm going to get my inheritance. And then I'll get some stuff. Rather than realizing that, as long as Daddy is alive, I have better access to it now.
Yeah.
It's better for me to come into Daddy's house now.
Yeah.
In other words, as long as we think, we're thinking along the lines that the inheritance isn't for now, mm-hmm. we'll never access it. But what we've really got to do is begin, again, we've got to apply Christ to some foolishness. And that's foolish thinking as well. Not just sickness, but the foolish thinking that separates us from having access to Daddy right now.
Yeah.
to have an access to our Father God right now, mm-hmm. to walk into His house. You know, in other words, you know, we should be able to walk into the house of God. And I'm not just talking about church. I'm talking about the continual surrounding of the house of God.
Being part of the household of faith.
And being able to walk into those things. In other words, you know, we wait for, well, maybe I'll get my healing when this certain preacher comes to town, or when, you know, this certain, you know, it's like the guy at the Pool of Bethesda. We're waiting for the angel to come down and trouble the water, rather than realize Jesus is standing in front of me right now, and that I can have he's wanting to give it to me.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, we talked a couple of weeks ago about realizing the presence of God. You know, that's all around us at all times, and not just when we're feeling those goosebumps and that, you know, the hair stand up on our neck, you know, when we're in a good church service, but realizing the ever presence of God. You can be sitting in your living room this morning watching this television show, and there might be, your kids might be playing on the floor, and you might be going about your daily chores while it's turned on, but the presence of God is right there in that room right now. You may not realize it, but if there's something you need, if you have sickness in your body, if you have a need, Daddy's right there, and all you got to do is ask, and I believe, and he it will happen.
Yeah.
Without having to wait for a certain time or troubling of the water, it may not seem like the atmosphere of God is in your house this morning, but the atmosphere of God is in your house to be able to access some things that you need.
Yep.
And all you got to do is ask Daddy, because it's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yep.
You know, we have been taught such bad theology that keeps us separated from accessing the kingdom inheritance that God wants to give us right now. We can access it right here, right now, at any given moment, because He is ever present with us. It's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And I think sometimes, it's like you said, we've sold our birthright.
Yep.
For a morsel of meat. And to me, that, you know, that's the stuff that's, you know, that morsel of meat to me is the stuff that's robbed us of really having the full access of what God wants us to have. And I know, you know, you're talking about so much more than just that, you know, but you know, even from a practical
standpoint. That's very practical.
You know, we here's the thing. Me and you, we sound a lot alike. We talk a lot alike and see a lot of things, but our function even in ministry is different, though.
Yep.
You know, you function as a more of an apostolic. You're a father. There's no doubt about it. Whereas my heart is more pastoral, and so I think about not just the declaration, but I think about the day to day.
That's why I had you on, is to bring that perspective.
The things, the day to day things that people are dealing with. You know, in other words, you know, probably most people aren't sitting in their living rooms listening, going, I want to know the deep truths of the Bible, but really what they're looking for is, I'm looking for something I can apply to my life right now. And see, the thing you can apply to your life right now, today, is that you're not having to waiting for a troubling of the water or some amazing service. You may be cooking eggs, drinking some coffee, your children got the room a mess this morning, but there's access to healing that you need. There's access to the protection of your children in that room right there. All you have to do is ask Dad.
Yep.
It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Yep.
If nothing else, man, just remove. I just want to apply Jesus to your life this morning, where it removes some foolishness from your heart to think that I've got to wait for something to get the access to it, and allow Jesus just to come into your everyday life this morning and give you access, because every one of us have something we need. And I'm sure there's somebody watching this morning that may have a real need. I mean, just, they need a real miracle. And they're like, I don't know how to get this miracle. I don't know how to access it. Well, Daddy's in the room this morning. And all you got to do is ask Him. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's His good pleasure to give it to you. And He's not waiting for some special atmosphere. He's just waiting for you to access it, to come into His house, you know, to realize that, you know what, His stuff, It belongs to me too. That I can have it.
We're heirs and joint.
You're not
heirs.
Taking anything. Yeah. You're not robbing God of anything. It's yours to receive. You're not robbing God of your healing. You're not robbing God of your need. You're receiving what He has already laid up for you. It's like He's laid the keys here to the car on the table and says, anytime you need to borrow the car, it's yours. You can take it. And we go, well, it's almost like we try to sneak into the room and take it, because we think that, you know, He doesn't want us to have it. But the keys are there because He wants you to begin to access the stuff. It's yours to have. That 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 the minds, here's the thing, repentance, there's repentance. What repentance simply is a mind change. What gives you access to the things you're needing this morning is a simple repentance. To say, you know what, Daddy's laid it up for me. Daddy's put it here for me to have access to it, to receive it. I'm not taking anything from God. I'm receiving what He's already given to me. That to me is, you know, in other words, we've been selling our birthright for crumbs that are on the floor, because that's really what we do. We get the crumbs on the floor and we think, well, that's what I'm a servant. That's a servant mentality. I get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. No, you get to sit at the master's table and receive the whole meal that's on the table that He's laid up for you.
Yep.
The meal that we, you know, we talked about, the meal is bread and wine. It's lamb. It's the supplements of the Lord. In other words, when Jesus, before He was crucified, He brought His disciples into the house and said, here's bread and wine, and I want you to eat it, because this is my body that's broken for you. This is my blood that's shed for you. If you take and eat this, you know, we hear that, you know, if you eat of it unworthily, it causes damnation to your soul. Well, to me, that's not just that that's not me going to hell. What that is that damnation that takes place is the things that's not true of me begins to be condemned and tore down, so that He can build something completely brand new, that you are a new creation in Christ. So don't reject the meal. Eat the meal, because what it's going to do is begin to change you to where you see, man, I really do have access. That Jesus says, I am the bread, that healing is the children's bread. So there's bread on the table this morning. You eat the bread. Don't reject it. You have right to sit at the table and have it. You can drink of the blood that's been shed for you. That we drink that blood, we partake of what Jesus did. Everything that we need is accessible in that. Don't fall for the crumbs. Don't sell the meal at the table for the crumbs that are on the floor. Sit down at the table and realize you have some right to eat the meal that Jesus has for you, because what it's going to do is going to be the very empowerment of the things you need.
You know, which really fits in with the whole narrative of what we're saying with the Hebrews 12 thing. He's saying to them, you know, don't fail of the grace of God. Don't sell your birthright.
Yeah.
Because he goes on to say, and right on the hill, the very next verse, I used to think the whole Esau idea was so out of left field, because it almost seems out of context, because the next thing he says is, for you've not come to the mount that might be touched, or God who says stay away, or fear and blackness and darkness, if you touch the edge of the mountain, you're going to be thrust through the dark. So what he's saying on the heels of that is, listen, this new covenant, you didn't come to a God who says, if you approach me, you're going to be thrust through of the dark. You've come to a God. You've come to Mount Zion.
Yeah.
You've come to some stuff that is available to you as heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We'll try to get in the next segment about how Christ was, first of all, the heir, and then we're heirs and joint heirs with Him. But I was thinking while you said that, you know what? You know, you think, well, we're heirs of God. Why even pray? Because somebody has to go to Daddy's house and say, I'd like to have the keys.
Yep.
And I got to thinking while you say about Aspen, your daughter, Christmas time, and comparing, I bought both of my I have two granddaughters so far, and the oldest granddaughter, Jason's daughter, I bought her a little battery-powered car for Christmas one year, and I was so excited about this car, and I mean, I really wanted her to have this little battery-operated car, and so I first of all give her, you know, like a little riding helmet for it. Well, she's so excited about the helmet, she loves the helmet, but she actually liked the helmet more than she loved the car. She loved the hat. And so we took her out to the little car, and she got in the car, and she was probably just a little young. She's my first grandbaby, and I was so anxious to give her this gift that it was more about me than it was her, because it was my heart to just give it to her. But she wasn't necessarily wanting this gift. That's why I think sometimes we got to seek earnestly the best gifts, because everybody sometimes don't want the same gifts.
Yep.
But anyway, when she got in that car, she hit the gas pedal on it, and when she did, it jerked a little bit, and it scared her. And she said, I don't like it. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I mean, I'm just like, you know, disappointed, because I'm thinking she should be so excited. And so her mama says, no, just push it the pedal real slow, and it won't scare you, and you enjoy it. She says, no, really, honestly, I really don't like it already. Mm-hmm. So she just didn't like, you know. Now, this year, of course, Aspen's several years younger than her, and Aspen was a lot older when she asked me. So she found a picture in a magazine of a little pink Cadillac Escalade, battery-powered, 12-volt car. And she brought that picture to me, circled. She said, Pap, I really want this for Christmas. And so she was desiring that gift.
Yep.
She wanted that. And so I bought her that, and so we bought her out into the garage, the last gift we gave her. And man, when she saw that car, she twirled around and danced and just squealed and just, I mean, she, thank you, Pap, thank you, Pap, thank you. And so she says, I want Ellen to get in this with me. She wanted one that her and Ellen could ride together. And so they got in that car and off they went. And man, they just had a big time driving this little car. And so I think sometimes that's how God is with us. He wants us to ask so that when he gives it to us, he wants to give us something that we really desire.
Yep.
It's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom.
And he gets joy in giving it to
us. It's his, the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That's how Dad enjoys himself.
Yeah.
So if you're out there today and you have a need, ask. The Bible said, ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. Knock, it will be open to you. I think sometimes we settle for way below our inheritance, or we give it away to somebody else, not really realizing it's our inheritance.
Yep.
And the whole point of this segment is don't be like Esau. And as he's pointing even to that, he's saying, you know, in the context of this whole Hebrews Book of Hebrews, that he's saying to these Hebrews who are in the last days of this covenant, don't sell your birthright for one morsel of meat. Don't give up your inheritance for just a momentary passing morsel of meat. Because if you hold steady, you can get the whole thing. And even when Jacob came in, he had to put the hair, I believe it was, of a sheep on his arm, because he knew that the only way to approach Daddy is you're going to have to, when he touches you, he's going to have something that identifies with the lamb. Yeah. And when he put that on his hand, the father turned around and blessed him and gave him his inheritance. And so don't forfeit your inheritance. You have a right to some stuff. You have a legal right to inheritance. We're out to run out of time, and this segment went so fast. If you'd like to help us to stay on the air, let me just tell you, the easiest way to just go to our website. There's a place where you can give via credit card. There's a PayPal there, but you can also give credit card or debit card, and you can set up a monthly debit if you'd like to become a partner for the amount that you choose. If you'd like to give by check or money order, you can write to the address on the screen, and we appreciate deeply when you do that. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next week as we continue opening the Word of God.
The word repentance means to change your mind. The message of John the Baptist and of Jesus was to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is accessed by a change in our thinking. If you are in outer darkness, there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. That reality is not always out in the distant future. It is in people's lives right now. One simple mind shift can move you out of darkness and weeping and into light and rejoicing. God wants to wipe all tears from our eyes and replace our weeping with joy.